Thank you, Lynette. God bless you. If you have your Bibles this morning, let me invite you to find Luke chapter 6 and verse 1. Luke chapter 6 and verse 1. If you are a guest with us this morning, we are studying God's Word verse by verse and chapter by chapter. And we have come to Luke chapter 6 after being in John's Gospel last Sunday morning for Easter. I want to share a message with you this morning entitled, Who Needs Rest? I see that hand of a kindergartner, first grader. If we are honest, I suspect that most, if not all, would have hands raised this morning that in fact you need rest. If history repeats itself, as it often does, there are several of you who in about 10 minutes or so will be resting with your eyes closed as you do many Sunday mornings. Amen. When we think about rest, we need to remember that God's Word has much to say about rest. Particularly when we talk about, or the Bible addresses, the issue or the topic of the Sabbath. If you are looking in your copy of the Scriptures this morning, you will notice that that word is found throughout our text today. There in verse 1, and then again in verse 2, and then in verse 5, and verse 6, and verse 7, you will find the word Sabbath again and again and again. But it's important for us to understand and to know, what does that mean? What is a Sabbath? The word literally means an interruption for rest. An interruption in your schedule, in your working for rest. It's also related to a word that means to cease or to desist, meaning to stop. And I don't want to assume that even in a congregation this morning of many who have been going to church for a number of years, that all of us know exactly when the Sabbath began and by whom did it originate. And so let me invite you to, holding your place there in Luke 6, turn back to Genesis chapter 2. For the Sabbath began in the Old Testament in Genesis 2. And it may be somewhat odd in saying it this way, but the Sabbath was created by God the Father. Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. And then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made." Now, please understand this morning, God did not create the Sabbath, and God did not rest because God was tired. God created the Sabbath, and he rested for us and as an example for us. And so, in answering the question, who needs rest? Well, God the Father thinks that all of us need rest. And so he created the Sabbath, this 24-hour period of rest created by God for our good, my good, and your good. In the Old Testament, and even into the New, the Sabbath began at sundown on Friday night. And it lasted until sundown on Saturday night. And so the nation of Israel combined both their Sabbath as well as their worship. And so on the same day, they worshiped and they also rested. If we think about Sabbath today, the church, in many respects, even in moving the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday to celebrate the resurrection of Christ, we also, not legalistically, but we also have combined our day of worship and our day of rest. The Sabbath in the Old Testament also had many regulations. It had many rules according to the Old Testament law, because God thought that the Sabbath was so important that he included it in one of the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20. Listen to verses 8, 9, 10, and 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And so this morning, we want to talk about rest. And we want to talk about the Sabbath. And what does God have for us as New Testament believers as it relates to the Sabbath and rest in a non-stop world in which we live. If you have found Luke chapter 6 and verse 1 and you are able, would you stand this morning in honor of God's word? Follow along as I'll be reading verses 1 through 11 of Luke chapter 6. Now it happened on the second Sabbath, after the first, that Jesus went through the grain fields. And his disciples plucked the heads of grain and ate them, rubbing them in their hands. And some of the Pharisees said to them, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" But Jesus answering them said, "Have you not even read this? What David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he went into the house of God and took and ate the showbread and also gave some to those with him, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he said to them, 'The Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. Now it happened on another Sabbath also that Jesus entered the synagogue and taught, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. And so the scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man who had the withered hand, "Arise and stand here." And he arose and stood. And then Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy?" And when he looked around at them all, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he did so. And his hand was restored as whole as the other. But they were filled with rage and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, again, thank you for gathering the body of Christ in this place this morning. Father, thank you for giving us access to your word. And Father, as we come to you this morning, we gather around your word, Lord, over these next few moments, speak to us loudly and clearly. Speak to us boldly, and let us be surrendered and submitted unto you and your spirit and what you want to do in our lives to save us, to sanctify us, to make us more like Jesus. We ask and pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. By the way, as you're thinking about the Sabbath, and particularly as it relates to last Sunday, remember that Jesus was taken off of the cross and he was placed in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea's family. And all of that took place before sundown on Friday. Why? So as not to work on the Sabbath. And then we hear nothing about Jesus in the tomb Friday night or Saturday. But after the Sabbath had ended, and first thing Sunday morning, Mary had come to the tomb to prepare his body more for burial, to do work, and yet not on the Sabbath. Look at verses 1 and 2 of Luke chapter 6. Notice the interrogation by the Pharisees of Jesus about the Sabbath. The interrogation or the questioning by the Pharisees of Jesus about the Sabbath. And so it was a Sabbath, verse 1 tells us. Now it happened on the second Sabbath after the first that Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples had plucked the heads of grain and ate them, rubbing them in their hands. Well, was that wrong? Should they have not done that? Because verse 2 says, "And some of the Pharisees said to them, 'Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?'" Was eating prohibited on the Sabbath? It was not. But what happened before the eating? How were Jesus and his disciples, how did they gather this grain? Weren't the Pharisees, listen to this verse in Deuteronomy chapter 23, weren't the Pharisees aware of Deuteronomy 23, 25, when you come into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the heads with your hand, but you shall not use a sickle on your neighbor's standing grain. Well, we don't know anything about the disciples using a sickle, but what we can conclude is that according to the Pharisees and their understanding of the law and what constituted work, that Jesus and his disciples, in their plucking the heads of grain and rubbing them in their hands, were in the wrong. Well, does Jesus get an opportunity to defend himself? Of course he does. And there in verse 3, we find the explanation by Jesus for the Pharisees from God's word about the Sabbath. But Jesus, answering them, said, "Have you not even read this?" By the way, brothers and sisters, it is always good, and perhaps even we should say best, when you have a dilemma, when you have a decision, when you have something that is pressing upon you and you need wisdom and guidance and clarity, that the very first place we should go is God's word. "Have you not even read this?" Jesus said, and surely they had. "What David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him." So Jesus takes the Pharisees back to a story in 1 Samuel 21. And we're not going to read that story this morning. Jesus gives us a great summary here in verse 4. But I do want to remind you this morning, because this will be pertinent in just a moment, that Jesus Christ was foreshadowed in King David. King David was a type of Christ. Not in every way, not in all ways, but in many ways. King David was foreshadowing the role of Jesus Christ for us. And Jesus reminds the nation of Israel's religious leaders, the Pharisees, of King David and what happened. And then here's the summary in verse 4. Again, this story took place in 1 Samuel 21. "How David went into the house of God and took and ate the showbread, and also gave some to those with him." So it's David and his army, David and his soldiers. They're hungry. They need something to eat. They find there in the house of God from the priest this showbread. But yet, according to the Old Testament law, the showbread is not for snacking. It's not for anyone and everyone who's hungry. It's for specifically and exclusively the priest. And yet the priest, according to verse 4, gave the showbread to David, who then gave the showbread to his soldiers. "Have you not read," again verse 4, "how David went into the house of God, took and ate the showbread, and also gave some to those with him, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat?" And then in verse 5, "And he said to them, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath." Here's what Jesus was saying. If David was able to reinterpret the law, for his own situation. And I am greater than David, then I also can reinterpret the law and apply it righteously, not legalistically, but righteously for us. That's what Jesus was saying there in verse 5 when he says, the Son of Man, talking about himself, is Lord of the Sabbath. He is the one who is governing and has the authority to govern the Sabbath. David did that in 1 Samuel 21. Jesus is doing that here in Luke 6. And then to illustrate verses 6 through 11, an illustration by Jesus of mercy. An illustration of mercy on the Sabbath. Now it happened on another Sabbath. Remember, the nation of Israel would have been worshiping on this day. Verse 6 says, as Jesus entered the synagogue, where did they worship? The synagogue. He entered the synagogue and taught, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. That's important to the story. It's important to remind us that Dr. Luke had a first-hand account, that he didn't just say any hand. He specifically noted it was his right hand that was withered, or we might say in our culture today, in our world today, atrophied. But this was life-changing. The Jewish culture considered the left hand to be evil. Sorry, all left-handers this morning. But they consider the left hand to be evil, and so nothing was supposed to be done, not even work, not even provision with your left hand, even if your right hand was withered. And so this man was in a world of hurt. He had no way to provide for himself. It is significant that it was his right hand that was withered. And so the scribes and the Pharisees watched Jesus closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath. They're like a predator is watching its prey and waiting to pounce. They obviously would consider healing as work that shouldn't be done on the Sabbath. And so the scribes and the Pharisees watched Jesus closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. But, verse 8, Jesus knew their thoughts. Well, how did he know their thoughts? Well, he's God. He was omniscient. And he demonstrated that omniscience here. He knew their thoughts and said to the man who had the withered hand, arise and stand here. Jesus is going to give them a visual illustration of mercy. Then Jesus said to them, I'm going to ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy? Now notice the comparison there and how he sets that up. Good is equal to saving life. Evil is equal to destroying life. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or save a life, or evil and destroy a life? And when he had looked around at them all, he left them speechless, by the way. They didn't know how to answer. They didn't know what to say. And he looked around on them all. He said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. His right hand was withered no more. His right hand was atrophied no more. His right hand, his life-saving hand, was now the same as the other. And their response, their reaction, verse 11, but they were filled with rage and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. So what does all of this mean? What does it mean for us today? What's the application for our lives? Well, here are several. Number one, brothers and sisters, we need rest today. We need rest. We are nonstop today doing this, that, and the other, going here, there, and yon, and we are exhausted. And it is good to rest. It's good to identify in your own personal life a 24-hour period where you can just rest. We don't have to be legalistic about that. And it doesn't have to be on Saturday. The New Testament gives us the freedom to decide when our day of rest is. You guys know that for me personally, that's Friday. I do my very best to not do anything related to Emory Baptist Church on Friday, because I need that. That's emotional rest that I get. It's spiritual rest that I get. Now, are there exceptions? Of course there are. There are times when there are events like a Good Friday service that happen on Friday. There are times when funerals happen on Friday. There are times when emergencies happen on Friday. But most of the time, I'm not doing anything related to Emory Baptist Church and vocational ministry on Friday because I need rest, and you do too. Don't be so arrogant that you think the world can't live without you resting. Don't be so cocky that you think that life isn't going to go on as usual if you happen to take care of yourself emotionally, spiritually, and physically. If that's your mindset, if that's your thought, then what you're saying is that you know better than God. Sabbath is important. Rest is important. Moms and dads, you know this, you can put something on the calendar every night a week. Your children will fill your calendar if you don't say, hey, we need a rest. We need a break. Individually, as a family, here's what God's word says. As it relates, all of these are in the book of Exodus. As we read the Ten Commandments just a moment ago, Exodus chapter 23, verse 12, 6 days you shall do your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the son of your female servant and the stranger may be refreshed. And then in Exodus 31, now again, we don't have the penalties under the Old Testament law as it relates to breaking the law as they did then. But I want, again, you to see how important the Sabbath was. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, this is Exodus 31 verse 12, speak also to the children of Israel saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death, for whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and he was refreshed. So keeping the Sabbath is a way that we follow the character and the example of our God. It's a way that demonstrates godliness. And then one last verse from the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 35, verses 1 through 3. Then Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said to them, "These are the words which the Lord has commanded you. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day shall be a holy day for you, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. You shall kindle no fire throughout your dwellings on the Sabbath day." We need rest. And it's been my experience that you either decide to take rest, or eventually your body will decide for you. And you will have to rest. But that's not the only application of today's text. You see, we all need physical rest. But in Matthew's gospel, Jesus talks about a spiritual rest. See, we all are in need of a spiritual rest as well. Listen to Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and listen to this, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If you are trying to work your way to heaven this morning, ladies and gentlemen, you will work for the rest of your life and yet fail. Because you cannot work your way to heaven. You have to trust in the completed work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And when you put your faith and trust in Him, then you can spiritually rest. And maybe you're here this morning. And you're trying as much as you can to be the best husband and the best wife and the best mom and the best dad and the best worker and the best employer and the best neighbor and the best citizen. And all of that is wonderful in this life, but will not get you to heaven. And so today, I invite you to rest in Jesus. And in just a moment, after I finish praying, we will be standing and singing and inviting you to respond publicly. For some of you, that may be today to put your faith and trust in Christ. But there's one last application, and you need to see this. Perhaps it goes unnoticed. When Jesus had the opportunity to do good for this man with the withered right hand, he did it. He ministered to him. He met his need. And so, brothers and sisters, I would say to you the same this morning. When you have the opportunity to do good to an individual, you have the opportunity, you have the availability, you have the means, then absolutely, positively do it. Listen to the words of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Do good. Jesus had the opportunity to do good, even on the Sabbath. Now, this doesn't mean, hey, I'm going to forsake the assembly of the gathering, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to do ministry projects in my community. That's a good thing to do, but don't forsake this assembly for doing that. You can do both. But when you have the opportunity to do good like Jesus, do good to those who are in need. You need rest this morning. I need rest. I hope we find it literally, and I hope we find it spiritually in our relationship with Christ. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, and we prepare for our time of public invitation. In just a moment, after I finish praying, we're going to be standing and singing all across the auditorium. And if today you would respond publicly to God's word, to put your faith and trust in Christ and to rest in Him for the very first time, today I would invite you to step out of one of these aisles and make your way here to the front. Brother Ronnie will be here. I will be here. You may not know exactly what to do, even though you know what you need to do. We'd love to counsel with you. We'd love to celebrate with you. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to welcome you today. All you can have to simply say is, today I want to be saved. Today I want to put my faith and trust in Christ. If you're a guest with us this morning and Holy Spirit is leading you to formally and officially unite with Emory Baptist Church, we'd love to welcome you today. We'll take care of the details of transferring your church membership. But our invitation will be an opportunity for you to be obedient in that way. Maybe you just simply today need to make a commitment this next week to take a Sabbath. Because you need it and because God commanded it. So you can make that commitment this morning, privately, personally, where you'll be standing. Father in heaven, we're grateful and thankful that you care so much about us, that you would provide for us rest. You've done that in the Sabbath. You've done that in your Son, Jesus Christ. May we receive the gifts that you have for us this morning. Father, I pray that you'd give boldness and courage to those who need to respond publicly today during our time of invitation. Draw them unto you, mold and shape them more into the image of Christ. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet as Brother Chris comes to lead us? Brother Ronnie and I are here at the front. We would invite you to respond publicly today during our invitation.